Welcome to the July 28th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by guest speaker Laura Beth Weaver, and her presentation is titled Beyond Birthday Cake. The podcast begins with a reading read by Worship Associate Kimberly Homer.
Now we have a reading by Mary Oliver, called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. Calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce Laura Beth Weaver. Laura Beth grew up in the Shenandoah Valley, the daughter of strong Mennonite women for generations. Laura Beth earned a BA in Public Policy and Community Service and an MA in Community and Organizational Leadership, both from Emory and Henry College. Oh, great college. Since moving to the New River Valley in 2011, Laura Beth has held multiple positions at the Women's Resource Center and is currently the Assistant Director. Laura Beth has held a variety of volunteer and board appointments over the years, always with an eye towards social justice and especially the rights and safety of women and children. She lives on a family farm with her husband and two obviously beautiful and perfect children, and I can vouch for that, and a confusion of guinea fowl.
It is good to be here this morning. It is so lovely to see you all. I'm honored to be here. Our work with the UU congregation goes back many years and certainly predates me. I wrote and rewrote my comments for this morning 3 or 4 times. You heard in my bio that I grew up Mennonite, which means attaching the word sermon carries a certain weight, and it might have overwhelmed me. So I'm going to share with you some things that have been on my heart recently and some work of the Women's Resource Center and weave together our partnership throughout that. I hope that that is okay. I didn't grow up loving poetry. I didn't get it. Nobody in my family got it. Recently, I have fallen in love with this poem that Kim shared by Mary Oliver, and I'm not sure why yet. I'm not sure why yet, except things are hard right now. There's a lot to disagree about. There's a lot that can overwhelm us. We at the Women's Resource Center since the mid-70s have been working with victims of sexual assault and domestic violence in the New River Valley. We serve about 3,000 folks a year. And that itself can be overwhelming, and the day's work can be hard. And then we start talking about human trafficking, and the problem gets larger, and the perpetrators get further away. And then we start talking about a crisis at the southern border. And on the way here this morning, I heard on NPR from a foster family in Baltimore who's fostering solely migrant children, and the problem gets larger, and the perpetrators get further away. And then I read a poem by Mary Oliver, this girl who doesn't like poetry and doesn't get it. And I read the part that says, "Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine." And I can't do that for everyone in the world who's hurting. And our 36 or 37 staff can't do that for everyone in the world that's hurting. But we can do it for 3,000 sexual assault and domestic violence victims each year. And then I read the part that says, "Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. Calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things." Each of us have a place. I can't solve the world's problems, but I have this place, and I am honored to share this place with each of you. Last year, we had about 145 families come through our shelter, our emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And those women brought between 80 and 90 children. I think the exact number is 88, but I haven't committed those numbers to memory quite yet. And in our place, one of the things we're able to commit to because of your help is a birthday party each month. How many of you have brought birthday cakes to us? I feel like, yes! I feel like it is really easy to forget those little pieces of our place, right? So, because of who I am, I want to hear from you. What were your favorite parts of your birthday as children? What did you like about your birthday? Just holler it out. Your mother's chocolate cake. What else? Presents. Of course, presents. What else? Someone hear what? Your grandpa. Yes. What else? You shared your birthday with your mother. How special. Yes. Yes. And probably all the other days too, right? Let's be honest. On that day, she unabashedly showed that you were her favorite child. Very good. So what we know about domestic violence victims, those of us who grew up in homes where domestic violence happened, what research tells the rest of us, is that those of us who live in domestic violence are often told that we're not special, that we're not important. The victims in this situation, still primarily women who we serve, although domestic violence certainly happens to men as well, but the adults in the situation are told, if you leave, no one will help you. If you leave, you'll never be able to make it without me. I am your provider. And so what we know is that folks come to our shelter out of a sense of desperation and out of a sense of hope. Because they, at this moment, believe that their place in life should be violence-free, but unsure of whether or not they'll be able to make it. And so what's really cool about the birthday cake, and this time, this month, the flowers that your congregation provides, is that for that day, we get to show those children and those adults that they're our favorite. Right? We get to show those children and those adults that there's a community who cares about them. We get to sit with those children in their celebrations, not just their sorrows. There is no reason for a domestic violence shelter to be a sad place. Hard stuff is happening. Trauma is happening. Folks come to us with unimaginable stories. But with the help of folks like you, we're able to make the shelter experience a bright spot in their life. I recently did a talk, and afterwards, a young man came up to me. He was in his 20s, and he said, "Are you the same shelter that's over blah, 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 blah?" I'm not going to tell you because it's a confidential location, but he described it perfectly. And I said, "Yes, we are the same shelter." And he said, "I was there when I was a kid." And I said, "Oh, how are you now? How is your mom now?" I'm sorry that you had to live with us, but I'm glad that we were there. And he said, don't be sorry. It was the coolest place I ever lived. And for me and for you, that is exactly what our goal should be, right? They get a birthday party. They get presents. We have other groups of folks who help make sure that we have presents and decorations for the birthday party. And I want to tell you that this month in particular, we had a lady with us who, like many of our folks, just have a story that puts chill bumps on me. And the day you delivered the cake, I'm not sure who brought it this month, but the day you delivered the cake was her actual birthday. And so we got to have a birthday party on her birthday. And on the day of her birth, we honored her. And she was our favorite. And we cannot do that work without you. But still in the back of my mind is the chatter of human trafficking. Still in the back of my mind is the chatter of the systematic oppression of those who live in poverty. And the Venn diagram of those who live in poverty and those who experience sexual assault and domestic violence is real fat in the middle, as we say, right? Still in the back of my mind is this place where we are. Kim and I were talking before the sermon, and it reminded me of a Cornel West quote that I've recently been interested in. Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. Right? Justice is what love looks like in public. And so while we are working on the one-on-one services that domestic violence and sexual assault victims need, while we are doing the counseling and the trauma-informed services, and we have the 24-hour crisis hotline that's available and has been available since the mid-70s, while we're doing the one-on-one work showing love, what we know and are grateful for is the larger work of justice that you all are committed to. Not only in the one-on-one, let's take these folks a birthday cake kind of way, but beyond that, right? The social justice that we're pushing for, that I hear your name attached with regularly in our community, helps me feel more confident that our place is full of good people doing good work. So the Women's Resource Center depends on this place being full of good people, showing justice and love constantly. We have a fundraiser in the spring. Some of you have been to it and supported it. We have an annual newsletter that goes out in the fall that says, send us your money. We are supported by congregations like you all and individuals like you all throughout the year, so that about 25% of our budget comes from local folks saying, how can we help make this place better? And for that, we are very grateful. It allows us to do things that state and federal grants might not support. And for that, we are very grateful. I want to tell you, a few of you know this already, the last time I spoke publicly, it was a surprise. But now I can say boldly and proudly that this year we implemented a chat hotline as part of our services. So we've been answering the phone, Women's Resource Center, are you safe? On a 24-hour crisis hotline since the mid-70s. And this year, with support of an anonymous donor, we were able to extend those services to include an online function. So folks who do not want to call, like people my age and younger don't call their own mamas, much less a stranger on a hotline. Folks who don't want to pick up the phone and make a phone call, can chat with us through our website, but also folks who are in a place where it's not safe to talk can text or chat with us over our website. And so we're constantly looking for new ways to reach more victims, because I say we serve about 3,000 people a year in the New River Valley, and that to you might sound like a really high number, but to me and to those I work with, I know we're missing some folks. Who are we missing is a question that drives my work and our executive director, Pat Brown's work every day. Who are we missing? The chat line is one way that we're trying to reach out to folks. We're also working on an inclusion council to help us better answer that question, who are we missing? You know, we're called the Women's Resource Center because we were built by really strong, brave women. And really strong, brave women have accessed our services. And still in 2019, domestic violence and sexual assault remains to be a very gender-based crime for which women and children bear the burden of most of the victimization. But we know that men are victims too. We know that domestic violence and sexual assault affects our friends and neighbors in the LGBTQ community. We know that domestic violence and sexual assault knows no bounds. And so who are we missing? And how can we better make our services accessible to them? If you have ideas, I hope you'll share them with us. If you know folks who would rather chat than talk on the phone, but are at risk of domestic violence and sexual assault, I hope you'll take some of our brochures and literature that I left at the table out in the commons. What's true is that birthday cakes and slippers and toiletries and all of the day-to-day stuff that we're able to share with our clients because of the generosity of our community, it answers the question, who will care about me? Will anyone care about me? And when they come to the Women's Resource Center, our goal is that they feel like the most important every day. And we're able to do that because of you all. Because justice and love go hand in hand. Now, when I was growing up, my preacher would have kept going. And he would have said all those words about three more times. But I won't do that to you today. We are grateful for you, for the ways that you help us that are obvious and the ways that you help us that are not obvious. When you say to someone, I'm worried about you, please call these folks, they can help you. That is justice. When you say over the water cooler, she didn't ask for it, it's not her fault. That is justice. When there is a sensationalized news story about domestic violence and sexual assault, and you say to the uncle that everybody has at the Thanksgiving dinner table, she didn't ask for it, it's not her fault, that's justice. And that, my friends, is what is helping the Women's Resource Center build a community that's free of sexual assault and domestic violence. Thank you.